Well, we're here today with Alex Mondozian. Today we're talking about the five secrets to making change. Tell us a little bit about the five secrets to making change.
One of the most painful things that people I come in contact with who are entrepreneurial CEOs, they're attempting to raise their productivity from a lower to a higher level in business. Typically people from startup to about $5 million, you know, businesses, small business owners, information marketers, authors, etc. Their greatest difficulty is making change. And it could be in the growth of their business. It could be in adding new team members. It could be finding new vendors. But I've found that if there were a system, if there were specific questions you could ask yourself, the tools and skills you could develop to help you make change faster, better, easier, and with less human effort, I felt that it would be very helpful to my students and to my joint venture partners because it would make life easier for me. And so I came up with this, and I've utilized it over the years. And over the past 6 years, I've made an awful lot of change, and I've taught this to family members. I've taught it to entrepreneurs. I've taught it to mentors of mine, and typically it works very, very well, and it's very fast.
So what are some of these secrets?
Well, they're not a secret when you find out what they are, so here they are in order. the first step is to ask yourself, what is my pain? What is my pain? Not problem, pain. Number two, what is the resolution? What is the resolution to that pain? See, a resolution is a process, a solution is a point in time, so carefully chosen word, resolution, is very, very important. Why am I stuck is the third question. Why am I stuck with this pain and haven't found the resolution? A lot of people are in that. Do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. Many people know that as the definition of insanity. Well, why am I stuck is a great third question to ask, and it's part of the five-step formula. And then the fourth step, the fourth question to ask yourself is, what's the process? In other words, what's the process of getting out of pain, getting unstuck, and finding the resolution? And then the fifth question and the fifth step is to ask yourself the question, what is my first physical action? In other words, what physical action do I have to make? Is it someone I have to call? Is it a list I have to make? Is it just writing down these questions? What's the first physical action to take? A good friend of mine was also an author. He said, writing is easy. He talks to people and speaks and teaches to writers who have writer's block. He says, writing is easy. It's sitting down to write that's difficult. So in that vein, if you take your first physical action, then there's movement. And with movement, there can be momentum. And with momentum, there's lots of change. So those are the five questions. What is my pain? What is the resolution? Why am I stuck? What's the process to get unstuck, out of my pain, and find the resolution? And what's my first physical action?
That's all very true. You know, it reminds me of a story where I was talking to this young lady a few years ago. She wanted to become a missionary. And I said, well, what are you doing to work towards that? And she goes, oh, nothing. And I was like, well, you're going to have to take some steps, you know, and what does it take to become a missionary? And then, of course, what are the steps in between, you know, and so forth. So it sounds like you've got a very good formula there. So that basically does, you know, does that for people, helps them make the change and get to the next level.
Well, the most important part of that, and I apologize for interrupting, but the most important part is getting started. And that's the biggest issue people have with change, is getting started with the change. Now, right now, my voice is a little hoarse because my son came back from school. They just started school, of course, it's that time of the year. My daughter and my son go to school, and they're in first grade and pre-kindergarten. And, you know, when school starts, all the kids get sick, of course, and they bring it back to their parents. And so I'm a public speaker. I'm a professional speaker. I'm a teleseminar marketer. I speak a lot. And it went down into my, you know, throat. And so this is why I sound a little hoarse.
Mm.
But it doesn't have an impact on my passion for the subject. It may sound a little different. It may sound even a little strange. But if you forgive the way it sounds or I sound and just focus on the content that I'm giving, then everything changes. Now, that is a very important part of change. I used to be very self-conscious about, if I were hoarse, I would say, I'm not going to do the interview. Now, I say, well, let's do the interview. As long as I can apologize and beg for forgiveness, if people have a problem with it, hang up or don't listen to it. If you don't, keep listening, because this is the way I'm going to sound. It's not going to have an impact on the content.
That's great. So you just remove the obstacles. Just overcome them.
Yeah, that's how you get unstuck. And so I went through this process before this interview and saying, okay, when am I going to reveal the fact that I feel great, but I have a hoarse voice? You should have heard me yesterday.
You sound great to me.
I can barely talk.
You sound great to me. I couldn't tell. So,
Thank you. So
what are some, I mean, is there a catalyst to get people to actually make an action? You know, what is the catalyst in the to actually make the first action?
Well, first of all, you have to be passionate about it. Because if something doesn't keep you up at night, then, and if you're not willing to do it for free, I've always found that to be the acid test. Like, you love it so much, you'd be willing to do it for free. For me, teaching, I'm willing to do for free if I had to, because I love it so much. I'm factory installed, I'm hardwired to become a teacher. Now, I teach entrepreneurial CEOs, so it's very profitable, much more profitable than teaching at a university in most cases. However, I would do it for free. Many times I do, and I actually do what I call tithing. I will tithe my time in teaching, which is much more valuable than tithing money. And so getting started and making the quick fix to get started, you have to focus on a passion, something that keeps you up at night, as you have a fire in the belly for it, and you just get so excited and you're enthusiastic. Now, many people don't know what they want. They don't know what they're passionate about. And so those people have to be ignited in their own minds. We can't help them or assist them. They have to find their passion first. And then from that point, you can go through the five-step process and make all the change you want. Sometimes the pain is, I don't know what I'm passionate about. We say, well, what's the resolution? Well, I got to find my passion. How do I get unstuck? Well, find others who have a passion and model them. What's the process? Well, be an apprentice to a mentor who has passion about a subject I really like. Work for him or her for the next 3 months. Next, do it for free so it doesn't cost him or her anything. And then next, when I decide to move on, start first physical action at that point would be start looking for the mentor. And then when I'm done with the mentor, the final action will be know my passion so I can get started. So that five-step process can be on finding your passion as well.
Wow. Well, it sounds like some great advice there. Well, part of the biggest things that you've done over the last few years, from what I can see, is you've taught people how to host teleseminars. Now, teleseminars are teletraining and so forth. Tell us about the four principles of teletraining that you've discussed and, of course, how to go about that.
Well, there are many principles, but the four I feel are so important are as follows. Number one, list building. If you don't have a list, then you have no one to speak to. So you'll haphazardly do teleseminars, and there'll be no one on the line. Number two, building marketing intimacy. When you have that list, you want to build intimacy, marketing intimacy with them by having teleseminars. The voice is a very intimate instrument. You can whisper. You can raise your voice. You can be hoarse like me, or you can have a clear voice. That's very intimate. I mean, I just admitted something, right? So that's something that I would consider to be intimate. When someone is intimate and vulnerable, that's a sign of strength, in my view, and you tend to trust that person because they've been vulnerable to you. So in a teleseminar, if someone listens to you for an hour, that's a very intimate setting, no matter what your content is. A website is not as intimate. An autoresponder is not as intimate. Even a television or a radio show is not as intimate. A billboard on the side of the freeway is not as intimate. With a teleseminar, the audience's ears to the phone, they're listening to you. You build marketing intimacy after you start building the list. So that's number two. Number three is you do a little each week. One teleseminar per week is an amazing compilation of 52 a year. When you have 52 a year, you build a list, you build intimacy with that list, and then you'll be just astounded how ordinary things consistently done produced extraordinary results. Mm-hmm. Let me repeat that, because that's not mine. That's one of my mentors who says that. He's my business mentor. His name is Keith Cunningham. Ordinary things consistently done produce extraordinary results. So that's the third principle, is do a little each week. Don't do a lot. do a little. And then the fourth, and this is especially important online, get more links. Get people linked to you. At my blog, alexmondosian.com, I have never done search engine optimization with that blog, yet it's a page rank 5, soon to be a 6. How? Well, I get linked. There are outbound links, there are inbound links, and there's lots of content. Getting links is so important. What is the internet but a bunch of links weaved in? Google has a lot of links. It's a search engine. So does Yahoo. So does MySpace. So does Wikipedia. Get more links. The more links you get, the more traffic you get. The more traffic you get, the more intimate you can become with a list that you build with the traffic. And if you do a little each week, you will turn your annual income into an hourly income, just like I did in 6 years.
Hmm. And yes, doing a little each week applies to all marketing. I mean, I've seen so many people that put out one ad or one, you know, one print ad or one radio ad or, you know, one week of ads or something like that. And it really takes consistency, no matter what you're doing, to really build up that trust factor with people.
Well, the single biggest mistake, in my opinion, I've identified five, but the first and the biggest is with entrepreneurs anyway. And by the way, an entrepreneur has very little to do with making money. The word was coined, as far as I know, by Jean-Baptiste Say, who was a Frenchman. It comes from the word entrepreneur, and it's all about productivity, taking something from a lower level of productivity to a higher level of productivity. So that could mean making more money, that can be business growth, that can mean having more efficient team members. It's all about productivity. And to me, I define productivity with five words, and that's maximum results in minimum time. Maximum results in minimum time. And so the biggest mistake I find that an entrepreneur makes is they don't make their target market specific enough. They're not speaking to a specific target market. They're speaking to a broad market, such as, for example, baby boomers. You ask an entrepreneur, okay, what's your market? They go, baby boomers. Well, what behavior is that based on? Those are people born between 1946 and 1964. I'm one of them. I'm on the tail end of it. The 1964 baby, I just gave away my age. I'm 43 at the time of this recording. I mean, what do I have anything to do with, let's say, a 55-year-old who's been working all his life for a boss? We have different wants and needs. What do I have to do with someone who is single and never been married? I'm married with two kids. My best friend is my wife. And so, you know, it's all about behavior, and it's all about a niche. Now, if you said something like baby boomers who attend events such as teleseminars, now you got something. Teleseminar goers, that's behavior. Now, when you look at behavior, then you look at a list that will respond to you, because now if I have a teleseminar that I want to conduct, and I go after that list because I know that that's a very targeted list. If you think of the Grand Canyon, how was the Grand Canyon, one of the wonders of the world, how was that formed? It was formed by a river. A niche is that river. The Grand Canyon is a niche. It's not a valley, it's a canyon. So you want to drill a mile deep and an inch wide with your target market. You don't want to drill a mile wide and just an inch deep. So specific target market. That's the first mistake. Does that make sense?
Well, definitely. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah, it's a great analogy. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm an analogy guy myself, so.
Oh, good. Well, see, an analogy is great because you can put so much nectar and so much thought into just a few words and sentences that people get it, and it's a story. So, you know, it's very memorable. Okay, so the second one. The first one is not specific enough with the target market. The second one is they don't take action each day. Remember, ordinary things consistently done produce extraordinary results. You must take one or two or three, I like to take 6 physical actions a day that I cross off. So you must take action. No one's going to take it for you. You got to do it yourself, physically. You can look at your checklist. You can do emails. You can do everything you possibly want to do, but if it's not directed towards business growth, you're not going to grow. So you must take physical action. Even bamboo that's 3 or 5 years underground without any sprout coming through the earth's soil, even bamboo that's gestating and germinating for 3 to 5 years has to be watered. If you don't water bamboo, then bamboo doesn't grow. Now, the moment the bamboo sees sunlight, it grows in 60 days full growth. It's amazing. Bamboo is a great metaphor because that's how business should be. Delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. You go to full growth in 60 days, but you got to wait 3 years. Imagine the farmer who was farming bamboo for the first time. They must have thought he was nuts. Well, if you don't take action each day, you got to take a little bit of action. This is nothing new, but it's important to take specific action to grow your business. And the easiest way to do that is focus on your target market. So target market not being specific enough, mistake number one. Number two, not taking action each day, physical action. Number three, networking. People don't know how to connect or network with others. When I'm at a seminar, I teach this very simple networking technique. You know, when you go to a seminar, most people walk up to someone and they go, "So, where are you from?" What do you think of this seminar? Okay, well, what do you do? And then they kind of haphazardly waste time. I ask three questions. Here they are. What do you do? Why are you here? And who's the ideal prospect for you? Next, what do you do? Why are you here? Who is the ideal prospect for you? And I write that down. I try to triangulate them and network them with others, and I become the networker of that seminar. You can do the same thing if someone calls you or you call someone. You want to contribute so that they contribute back to you. What do you do? Why are you here? And who is the ideal prospect for you? Okay? You ask those three questions. Now, the why, you can say, why did you build your website? What do you do? Why did you build your website? And who is the ideal prospect for you? The three questions are what, why, and who. That's a formula. If you utilize that formula with others, you will network. This is the way I've got to interview people like Donald Trump and people like Bob Proctor and Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Michael Gerber, T. Harv Eker, Joe Vitale, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Vic Conant, the who's who of thought leaders, by asking these simple questions. That's the third mistake. People don't network well enough. The fourth mistake is running before they walk, before they crawl. And I mentioned bamboo before. The mistake is most business people are not like bamboo. They don't realize that they have to drill deep. They have to go down first before they can go up. Bamboo is underground for 3 years minimum, and then it grows full growth in 60 days. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's how business is. First crawl, then walk, then run. Okay? There's a natural, organic time, period. There's a natural, organic time, period, to grow a business. So crawl, walk, run. Don't run, walk, crawl. That's what most people want to do. They run, and then they walk because they're tired of running, and then they crawl to their grave. It's ridiculous. Crawl, start building momentum, then walk, then run. That way you preserve all your energy and you become a multimillionaire. And then number five, become an apprentice. Become an apprentice. You know, there's this concept of stewardship, which is taking personal responsibility or taking care of another person's property or financial affairs. Historically, stewardship was the responsibility given household servants to bring food and drinks to big castle dining halls. And then the term was expanded to indicate a household employee's responsibility for managing a household or domestic affairs. But then stewardship has now become the responsibility of taking care of someone else's needs, such as a mentor. So be a steward of someone. Become an apprentice. See, to me, an apprentice and a steward are really the same thing. You work for free, but you learn. And you learn by others, from others who have already plowed the ground before you. The only thing worse than going in the wrong direction is going in the wrong direction enthusiastically, yeah. Going to the wrong point B, right? Because it's crazy, you're off course. So the five mistakes again, target market not specific enough. Number two, not taking physical actions each day. Number three, not knowing how to network. Number four, running first, then walking, then crawling. And number five, not becoming an apprentice or a steward of someone who's gotten the results that you wanted. Those are the five biggest mistakes, in my view.